Good morning. Would you stand? It's time to begin our service this morning. So glad to see you in the house of the Lord. How many of you remember the day you gave your heart to Jesus? Was it a happy day? All right. Still is a happy day, man. Still is a wonderful time. Greatest day in our life when we give our heart and life back to the Lord. Amen.
Is it a happy day? Let me see those smiles out there on your faces. If you're in your living room watching today, we want to see you smiling too. We have lots to smile about. We are here. We're worshiping the Lord. He's given us more than we deserve. He's kept us from things that we did deserve. And he provided salvation. And so this morning, it's good to meet in the house of the Lord. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. So Lord, we thank you this morning that you brought us here to this place to bring glory and honor to you. And so, Lord, we lift up our voices today. We're going to sing with all of our hearts because of our love for you. Lord, we're going to hear from your word and be inspired by the truths of the gospel. And, Lord, may it move us in a great way. But, Lord, most of all, would you just bind us together as the church family? Lord, in this season of Christmas, the season of celebrating the birth of Jesus, the beginning of the plan of redemption. And Lord, we thank you today that you're in this place. We welcome your presence here. We ask, Lord, you be here amongst your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated for just a few moments. Amen. 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 I want to say, if you're here visiting with us this morning, thank you for being here. This is our visitor card, and we want you to fill that out and let us know that you came and give us a record of your attendance. It's in the seat back right in front of you. And so if you do that and then place it in the offering that's going to pass in just a few moments, that would be wonderful. That would be helpful. And so we would just ask that you would do that. That would be awesome, awesome, awesome. We have several announcements. So everybody right now, get ready. Hold on. Open your ears. Don't fade out. Don't, for those of you with your Apple Watches, don't let them buzz that you have some notification from Facebook, all right? And focus in, because these are all very important. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we can use as many people as would come tonight to help us to decorate the church. We're going to get this ready. We're going to have the wreaths up and the lights and the Christmas trees. The youth, I could use you, all of you, to come over and help as we decorate the youth facility and get that all decked out and ready to go. And so we'd love for you to be here and be a part of that. It's a great way to just fellowship, great way to hang out, and a great way to get the church ready for the Christmas season. How many know Christmas is worthy to be celebrated? Amen? Amen? How many of you ever, just side note, how many of you ever fill out a card and you don't have a whole lot of room and really, you know, a lot of the world wants to put Xmas, you know, and I can't do it. Like if I will squeeze the Christ in there because that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? Amen. 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 Well, hey, we have Connect groups next Sunday night and not next Sunday night. No. 2 weeks from now, because this is the fifth Sunday. So we still have one more Connect group. It's Connect group number 7. And the way that's going to work is this. We're all coming together here, okay? We're going to have a Christmas Connect group together. We're going to bring finger foods and all of that. And so we'll have some more details to come in the next couple of weeks. But we want you to know about that. We still have, we don't traditionally do one in December, but we are going to on December 13th. And so you're going to want to be a part of that. If you signed up for boxes, to bring boxes for our Christmas outreach, those are due next Sunday, okay? So if you can do your very best to bring those boxes in by next Sunday, because a week from Saturday on December 12th is the outreach. And if you've signed up for that, next Sunday I'll be giving some more detailed instructions about when you need to be here and what you need to do and all of that. And so we would love for you to be a part of the outreach. If you haven't signed up already, you can sign up. We're going to be doing, we switched up the menu a little bit, Pastor. We were going to do hot dogs and nachos. That's what we traditionally do. But this year I talked to Pastor Deborah. She wanted to change it up a little bit. And so we're going to do hot dogs and French fries. And then we're doing fresh baked cookies. So yes, come on now. Come on. So the only risk of that is, will the cookies make it out of the kitchen? So Melissa Clark assured me that I could have one, but I couldn't have, you know, too many. And I've assured her that I will have more than one. So, but anyway, we'd love for you to be a part of that. You can help bake cookies. You can help make hot dogs. You can help serve and just share the love of Jesus Christ with those there at the Inner City Church. And so we want you to be a part of that. Hey, we're going to do our live nativity. It's been a couple years since we did it. We do a live nativity down on the corner of our property, down on Post Oak and 77. And we need people who would sign up to be a part of that. The sign up is out there to be either Joseph or Mary or a shepherd or whatever it may be. You can't sign up to be baby Jesus, all right? Tony, it's not happening, bro. Yeah. We're not swaddling you, all right? So, yeah, but you can sign up to be a shepherd or maybe a sheep, okay? So, I didn't say the donkey, so, So we need, there's some items in the bulletin that are items that we could use. And if you have any of those things, we'd love for you to help by providing those things. So all the details are there. Donna Flowers is heading that up and her number is there. So if you have any questions about that, like I said, the sign up is out in the foyer. The last thing I want to share with you is this, is would you be praying for Pastor Chad and Miss Amanda? They are quarantined right now. Miss Amanda has tested positive and is doing fine. But that whole family is at home. And so unfortunately, because they are not going to be able to be here the next few weeks, we will not have a kids' Christmas program like we traditionally do on December 6th. So there won't be any practice. Parents, you see the practice there on the 5th. That is not happening. However, we are working with the kids today in the coming weeks, and we are still going to do the bell choir. We're going to do some Christmas bell choir on December 13th, okay? So a week later gives us a little more time. So we are still going to have something for the kids to present, but it will not be like it was going to be because unfortunately COVID struck again. So we want you to know that. And so I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Let's give a hand for that. Amen. Raise your hand if you just feel blessed today. Come on. Come on. I feel blessed too. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you poured out upon us, and we thank you, Lord, for this Christmas season. Lord, I pray that we would take this Christmas season and we would not just waste it, but we would use it to present the gospel to our community and to our world. I pray, Lord, you would bless everything we do, whether it be the live nativity, Lord, whether it be our Christmas outreach, whether it be the bell choir or any other Christmas thing that we're going to be doing, Lord, to celebrate your birth. And so, Lord, we ask right now you bless all that's given, multiply it, and may the gospel be furthered. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. After the offering passes, go ahead and stand back up. We're going to continue worship. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Sweetest name I know fills my every longing and keeps me singing as I go. Well, all my life was struck by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again.
Sweetest name I know fills my every
I'm so glad I built my life on Jesus, aren't you? I'm so glad that I know him as my Lord and as my Savior. And I know that he's going to be coming back again one of these days to take me to be where he is. Amen. He's our firm foundation. Thank you, Lord. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. With me. I more time. Our trust in you, and when we build our life on you, Lord, we know that you will bless, that you will bless not just our life, but you will bless the life of our children and our children's children and our children's children's children to a thousand generations. Lord, you will bless. There will be a remnant of glory and grace and mercy that will flow down through the family line and the generations to follow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that promise to your children and to their children and their children. Oh, God, even when they get off the path, even when possibly some of our kids get off the path, Lord, they cannot get away from that powerful presence of the Lord that calls them back, that woos them back to say, come, come back to the faith of your father, of your mother, of your grandfather, your grandmother. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will not forsake us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
The Lord bless you.
Yes,
Lord, you
hallelujah.
And give you peace.
The Lord bless and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you. Before we continue singing any longer, as the music plays, just say, thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy and your help and your strength, oh God. We praise you. We praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. this part. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations
in your family, in your children, and their children.
And declare it. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations. Favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children and their children and their children. Children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, he is for you, he is for you, he is for you. Amen. 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 So be it, Lord. So be it. Let your favor rest upon us, O God. To a thousand generations, Lord, we declare it over our families today. Over our children and their children and their children. May your favor, may your goodness and your grace, may your salvation and your healing, your victory rest upon them. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Again. Father God, there are so many today that need your help and your healing, need your favor, your strength. So many, Lord, that are fighting this virus like Rendy's brother and sister-in-law, like Anthony and Anna Kibusik, like Carol Griggs' brother-in-law and sister, like Mark Fitzgerald. We pray for them and others, Lord. Touch them right now. Pastor Chad and Amanda, touch them, Lord. Just now, reach down and minister healing and help to all those in need. Lord, be with April McDonald's family as her grandfather passed away just a couple of days ago of the virus. Be with her dad, especially, and be with all the family. Be with Bill Burroughs, still struggling with pneumonia, recovering from that illness, Lord, that he's wrestled with, having just one lung, Lord. We know that it's so critical that he be careful, and we just pray for complete healing for Bill. We pray for Elwana Pollock, also having pneumonia. Lord Jesus, touch her today. Father, we continue to pray for Reverend Mark Fitzgerald, that you would just raise him up and touch him and heal him. We pray for the Joe Adams family today, Lord, as they celebrated his life last night. And what a wonderful celebration. But Lord, his family woke up this morning and that husband, that dad, that brother wasn't there. Lord, we pray for your comfort and your peace to be upon Kim and their children and grandchildren. We pray, Father God, that you would be with the Eldon Anderson family as Brother Anderson, one of our Assembly of God ministers, passed away yesterday. Lord, just touch him. Touch his family. Minister to their family today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Continue to touch Doug Carter. Heal his body of cancer. Father, we continue to lift up our nation. We lift up our country. We lift up this election that is still in controversy. We just pray that truth would prevail. We pray, Father, that you would bring healing to our nation, bring a great, massive, wonderful revival to our nation again. You've done it in the past. There have been great awakenings and outpourings of your Spirit in the past. And Lord, you've not changed. You desire to do that once again. And so we pray over that as your people. We humbly pray that you touch our nation and heal our land. Father God, just be with the word of God as it's preached today. As Pastor Phil comes in a moment, I pray that your anointing rest upon him. I pray that your anointing rest upon each and every person here today, that we might receive the message that's been prepared and prayed over, and that you would just speak to our hearts. We pray for those watching by live stream, that you would touch them today, Lord. Whatever needs they may be facing, whatever's going on in their lives, Lord, help them and heal them. If they don't know you as Savior, we pray that they come to know you as the Lord of their life. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Phil's coming at this time. We appreciate our associate pastor and his family. They're a wonderful blessing. And so give it up for Pastor Phil as he comes to minister this morning.
I told Pastor he could have his water. One of them cooties. Elliot, will you get me a water, though? Thank you. It's my assistant. If you want to know what I looked like at 17, there it is. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to always share the word. And so let's just get right into it. This morning I've entitled my message, Out of Focus. You ever been out of focus? You ever looked through something that was out of focus? It was about worthless, isn't it? It's just you're looking through it going, man, what is that? It helps a lot when we can get focus in our life. How many of you ever had an unexpected visitor at your house? Anybody ever had an unexpected visitor? You know what I'm talking about. Thank you, son. Thank you. Hold on. You know what I'm talking about. You're at home, you're not expecting anybody to come to your house, you're in your pajamas, whatever, you haven't got ready for the day. Yes, it's 11 o'clock, no judgment. And hair's not done, makeup's not even been thought about, and maybe not even a shower has happened. And all of a sudden you hear that knock at the door or the ring of the doorbell, and you are thinking to yourself, I'm not expecting anyone. And how many of you have ever done that? the creep over the window thing. You know what I mean? You creep over to the window next to the door and you've got to look out the window and you're trying to look out and see the person that's standing at the door without them seeing you, right? So you're creeping down, you're looking. And that doesn't help because when you get there, you realize you have no idea who this person is. You have no idea who they are. You don't know what they want. And you have no idea why they are even there. So then you've got a choice, right? You've got to pretend that you're not there. But if you're as unstealthy as I am, they've already seen me look through the window. So they know that I'm there. And so you've got to answer the door, and it's kind of this anxious moment, Pastor, because you're like, you know, you're not sure if you know, it's somebody, you know, a neighbor that you just haven't met, or if it's somebody about to sell you a window cleaner, or, you know, you just never know. And so there is some uncertainty. My point to this story is there is some uncertainty that comes with an unexpected visitor when you don't know who they are. And you don't know why they're there, and you don't know what they want. Uncertainty kind of just reigns and rules the moment. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Most of the time when we read this passage of Scripture, we obviously read it with the idea of salvation in mind, but we usually talk about it in the idea of Jesus is knocking at the door and he wants you to answer, but we know who Jesus is. But there was a moment in our life, for some of us much younger in life, for some of us later in life, where we actually began to understand somebody told us who Jesus was. Not only told us who Jesus was, but why he was there and what he wanted. There was a moment when we first, and maybe as you think back, you can remember that moment when you were first introduced to Jesus. Anybody remember that moment? And the uncertainty. We don't think about it, but there was some uncertainty with it. So you're telling me Jesus died on the cross for my sins. You're telling me that Jesus loves me. You're telling that. So Jesus is the one through whom salvation comes. And there was some uncertainty, but in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the scripture tells us this, "For the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came to seek and to save the lost." And here's what I love about the scripture is this, that the scripture tells us there is with no uncertainty the reason why Jesus came. There is no uncertainty of the reason why Jesus knocks at the door of everyone's heart. He knocks at that door for one reason. He's come to seek and to save the lost. There's no uncertainty to why Jesus has come to this, he came to this earth and why he died on the cross. And yet we watch the news. I'm going to meddle a little bit today. Is it okay? Raise your hand if it's okay if I meddle just a little. All right. I'm meddling with myself. All right. I'm preaching to myself today. Four people gave me permission, Pastor. Everybody else says no. Mind your own business. All right. We watch the news and we see men and women promise to do this and to do that, right? There's a lot of promises. A lot of what we would call, most of them are empty promises. They say, well, if you'll support me, I'm going to do this. And if you'll support me, I'm going to do that. And I believe in this and I believe in that. And there's just, we're just bombarded. How many of you just, your favorite thing to do with the news is turn it off? Like, boop. Like, this is crazy. The politics of our world are at best confusing. I mean, have you ever just watched and you just thought, I just watched a segment and I'm pretty certain that they just said both sides. Like they just said opposite things that they believed in. At best, they're confusing. At worst, they're deceitful. Would you agree with that today? And they're really trying to answer one question. This is what they're trying to answer. This is the question they keep posing to you. Who do you trust? Who do we trust? Do you trust me? Do you trust the other candidate? Do you trust our news station? We're telling you the truth. Do you trust the other news station that they're telling you the truth? Really, what they want is your trust. Because if they can get your trust, then you'll begin to believe everything that they say and their agenda and whatever they have to do. And yet, here's the truth. Who do we trust? Jesus and Christ alone. The scripture says that we should never put our trust in men and women, but in Jesus. So I want to challenge us this morning. I want to challenge all of us to follow after what Jesus did, which was to seek and to save the lost. We knew exactly why Jesus came. We knew exactly why he was here. He wasn't knocking on the door to sell us anything. He wasn't knocking on the door to get anything from us. He knocked at the door so he could seek us, find us, and save us, clear cut. So I want to challenge us this morning to follow after Jesus and his example and choose people, because that's what Jesus was all about, over politics. I'm not going to talk a long time about this, but I want to just say, I'm afraid that we've become so focused on pushing our candidate of choice that we've forgotten that Jesus is the only true Savior. We've got to get to the point where the church remembers that Jesus came to save us, not some man. We can't put our hope in any candidate. We can't put our hope in any agenda or any platform. It's okay to put a sign in your yard. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that as long as Jesus is in your heart. Are you with me today? All right. If we're not careful, we've locked ourselves into our political party so strongly that we've forgotten that Jesus died for all. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be transparent with you. I was very deeply involved in the presidential election and all those things, and I had my candidate who I was going for and whatever. And when I would see a sign in the yard of the other candidate, it had an adverse effect on me. Can I just be transparent? I'd be like, man, I just don't get it. Anybody ever get the spirit of judgment on you? Yeah, come on now. And so as the election day got closer, I began to just ask the Lord, this is my prayer, Lord, let me love people no matter their signs. Let me love people no matter their views. Let me love people no matter what they choose or don't choose. Because as the church, we have to understand that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Everyone. Everyone. We've been so busy. Listen to this. When I wrote this down, I said, Lord, oh man, I actually stopped and prayed a little bit, Pastor. You ever have that moment where you're like, Lord, you are talking to me. We have been so busy trying to create a solution through politics for our country that we have forgotten as a church that we already found him. Come on. Now we have COVID. We have COVID and the sickness, and we have, and I'm not discounting it in any shape or form. We have people, our very own children's pastor and his wife are struggling with it right now. Some of you in this room have struggled through it. We've lost loved ones because of it. And it is really pulling at our emotions. It is creating stress within our world. But as a church, I need you to understand something. Hear my heart today. The greatest tragedy we face is not that people are dying of COVID. The greatest tragedy we face is that people are dying and going to hell. The thing is that we've got to get to a point where we're not just worried about a physical healing, but that we understand that Jesus came, that this body would waste away, but that the healing he would bring would be eternal. He came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came that somewhere along the way, though, we've forgotten the mission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Here's what he said to his disciples. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's pretty straightforward. As we enter into this season of celebrating the greatest birth ever on earth, I love that rhyme. May we refocus ourselves to honor the one who gave his life so that all can be saved. We've gotten out of focus, and today I'd like to challenge us to look at three ways we can refocus. Three ways. Number one is this: by correcting our priorities. By correcting our priorities. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says this: Then how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. There's a lot of things that life brings us. There's a lot of things that life we're intended to do. I credit and revere people who you can see they work hard at what they do in their living and things like that. We honored a great man yesterday, Joe Adams, and I talked about how hardworking he was, and he had more. I knew he had several jobs. We had more jobs than I even knew he had. And so I think it's great to work at what you do, but the greatest priority as a Christian should be to spread the gospel. To spread the gospel. I believe you ought to be in relationship with others. I believe you ought to form relationship with others. But I believe that relationship should cause you to be able to overflow, and the gospel should be able to be spoken to the person you're in relationship with. I don't know if you heard this phrase before, but there's a phrase that goes, show me your checkbook. I know a lot of you probably don't use a checkbook anymore, so you could say, show me your bank statement, and I'll show you your priorities. Show me your bank statement, and I will show you your priorities. How many of you still get a bank statement? How many of you just get it online, like you're online? How many of you still get a paper one? Yeah, that's me. Yeah, filling them binders up. Thank you. Kelly's like, I don't understand. I'm like, I just want to see it. I want to mark on it. So anyway, they're like, we'll give you $5. I'm like, $5? No. Then I have to print it out. Anyway, so if you look at your bank statement, though, I could tell you what is your priority. Listen, you look at my bank statement, I'm going to tell you right now. Here's what you're going to find out. Pastor Phil spends a little too much time at Buffalo Wild Wings. All right? And when he's not at Buffalo Wild Wings, he spends a little too much time eating Mexican food. All right? So, come on now. Yeah. But maybe your bank statement, maybe it shows that you spend a lot of money buying books because you love to read, or maybe it's on some other hobby, or maybe it's on sports. Maybe some of you are buying lots of sports equipment and sports shirts and sports tickets and that's probably on my bank statement too. Maybe it's cars, Caleb, wherever you're at. Maybe you're spending lots of money fixing your cars up and making them all shiny. I'm just glad if I can get in it. Maybe your bank statement shows that you spend a lot of money on your family. You know, that you're buying stuff, you've got children, and so you're buying stuff for their extracurricular activities, you're buying stuff for some new clothes and school pictures and matching outfits for two small little munchkins that live in my house. Matching outfits all the time, matching outfits. It's not Braylon and Elliot, they used to match. Now if I can just get them to match just them. It's green shoes, son. All right, so. But if you look at your bank statement, it will tell you what your priorities, right? That's why a lot of you, we don't want to look at our bank statement. We're like, man, I spent that much? That is a lot of Starbucks. You know what I mean? My point to you is this: to reach the lost, to spread the gospel, it will cost you some of your resources. To really reach the lost and to be effective in what we do, when we're looking at a budget, maybe none of you have ever made a budget, but if you're looking at a budget, you really do have to begin to say, you know what, maybe I need to spend a little less money here. Maybe I need to spend a little less money there because I need some resources to do what you've called me to do. As a matter of fact, I would tell you this. It's impossible to reach others while only spending on ourselves. It's impossible to reach others while only spending on ourselves. I think we were, this story I'm going to tell you, I think we were in Edmond. We were youth pastoring at Spring Creek Assembly. And you know, we do the outreach and we partner with Inner City Church. And one of the pastors there had listed on Facebook that there was a family taking in two foster kids and they needed beds. They needed beds for these kids and they needed them immediately. And so I private messaged back and I said, hey, we have a spare bunk bed that we had taken apart. Elliot and Braylon each had bunk beds and then they'd moved together. So they were sharing a bunk bed. And so we had an extra bunk bed. It was in our garage. And I said, you can have that bunk bed. We don't need the bunk bed anymore. And so they said great. So we made arrangements for them to come, and they brought a truck to pick it up and you know get the pieces and everything. And so I'm out in the garage and I'm helping this gentleman, and we're loading the bunk bed in the back of this truck. And about that time, Elliot came out of the house, and he came out and he immediately saw that this was his bunk bed. This is my bunk bed. And he's like, Dad, what are you doing with my bunk bed? I said, well, son, we're going to give this. You and Braylon share a bunk bed now in the room. So you don't need this bunk bed. And so we're going to take this bunk bed and we're going to give it away. And he's like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, that's my bunk bed, you know. I said, and so I realized that simple explanation wasn't going to work. So I said, well, son, I said, listen, there's two kids, and they don't have a bed. I said, I know this was your bed, but you have a bed. And these two kids, they don't even have anywhere to sleep. And he looked at me. He grabbed the headboard. He said, never mind, Dad. Grabbed the headboard, and he stuck it in the truck. Because what we have to begin to teach our family and what we need to begin to understand ourselves is this. Is that our others' needs are more important than our wants. Others' needs are more important than our wants. I have a lot of wants. I mean, everybody has a list. Some of my children, like, they get their Christmas, like, as soon as Christmas is over, they've already got, like, 2021 Christmas. And then other kids, they don't know at all what exactly they want. And you're like, but we all have wants. But we've got to get to the point where others people's needs are more important than our wants. How do we teach? I want to give you a few things today, some practical steps. I try to do this every time I speak. I want to give you some applications, some practical things that would help you. How do we teach our families to be givers? And so here's a couple if you're taking notes. The first one would be this. Be willing to pick up your children or your grandchildren's friends for church, even if you have to leave 15 minutes earlier to do it. Number two, be willing to take them to church, even though we know that we're going to go out to eat afterwards, and it's going to cost us an extra meal. Be willing to place an unkept child or an adult in a very kept and detailed vehicle. How about this one? Don't be so anxious to create an environment of influence or change. Be so anxious to create an environment of influence or change that you'd be willing to change the carpet in your house every year if you had to. Be willing to have people come to your house. You know, we have a policy, and my boys, my kids, we don't often have them go to other people's houses, but they know that people can come to ours. They can come. They can eat our food. They don't have to ask. They can, because you know what? It doesn't matter. We can get more food. We can clean the carpets. It's the souls. It's the gospel. It's the influence that we're... If I told you today, I want you to think right now. I want you to think right now of the person, a young person, a grandchild, a child, a nephew, a niece, somebody that you would desire to know the Lord. How much would you pay for that to happen? Is it worth $10? Is it worth 20? Is it worth 100? Is it worth... See, that's the way we have to look, because every child, every person, every adult that comes into our house, that comes into our circle of influence, that we can share the gospel with, there's somebody's child. There's somebody's grandchild. There's somebody's nephew. There's somebody's niece. And we've got to be willing, because how much is a soul worth? Jesus said this much. How much is it worth to us to have the ability to change or influence somebody? We got to be willing to fill up our checkbook with giving, whether it be a tank of gas for a neighbor, whether it be a pair of shoes for a child, whether it be a scholarship. Some of you, many of you in the church are really gracious about this. Whether it be a scholarship for a youth to go to camp or youth convention or kids camp or whatever it may be. We've got to look at our checkbook and say, what is our priorities? Our greatest struggle, listen to me right now. Our greatest struggle isn't that we're running out of money. It's that we're running out of time. Our greatest struggle isn't that we're going to run out of money. I believe that if we'll get our checkbook, if we'll get our priorities in place, I believe God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Kelly and I, we've walked out to our mailbox before. We thought, I don't know, and there was money in the mailbox. We've opened our door before and there was groceries on the doorstep. We've wondered, hey, I wonder how we're going to buy gifts for our kids. And somebody walked up to us at church and said, hey, I just felt like the Lord wanted to give you this money. I hope you have a great Christmas. Sometimes all God needs is for us to get out of his way and just do what he asks us to do. He says, I got the plan. You don't think I can't fund it? You don't think I can't orchestrate it? You don't think I can't make it happen? If you'll just simply be a willing vessel. People are dying and going to hell, and if we don't reach them, who will? Your family's not changed by reducing the number of its wants, but by eliminating the needs around them. You want to change your family, the dynamic of your family? Begin to eliminate the needs you see around you, and it will change the dynamic of your family. And the greatest need, obviously, is salvation. The second thing we can do to refocus is this, is opening our hearts. Opening our hearts. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We must keep an open heart to the world around us. It's gotten harder and harder, my friends. I already talked about it some. It is getting harder and harder to keep an open heart, especially when people begin to speak so vehemently opposite to what we hold as truths. Most people fail to reach their world not because of lack of opportunity, but for failure to be prepared when opportunity comes. God will never fail to give you an opportunity. He will never fail to give you a way to reach the world around you with the gospel. We must be prepared to do so when it comes time. There's three, I want to give you really quick, three obstacles to an open heart. One is, it might just feel uncomfortable. It might be uncomfortable. Maybe the situation... It might be uncomfortable. Maybe the opportunity the Lord gives you isn't going to be in the middle of your circle of friends. Maybe it's going to be somebody that you don't really have that deep a relationship with. Maybe it'll be a stranger. It could be a stranger at the coffee shop. It could be a stranger at the mechanic. It could be anywhere. It could be a cashier at Walmart. It may not be at the most convenient time. I found that to be true before. Lord, But I need you to go pray with that person. But Pastor, you ever been there? Well, you just, I got to be honest with you. You guys are all shaking your head because you watch me. I'm just like, I'm like this all the time. I have to pray, Lord, I don't ever want to get too busy for you. I need to slow down a little bit. It's hard for me. I'm just being honest. like in the dictionary, ADHD, me. Okay, so I get it. But sometimes it's not going to be comfortable because sometimes it's not going to be at the most convenient time. And lastly, it might require boldness. Man, sometimes it's hard. You know, you got to walk up. And Pastor John Stokes was sharing with me the other day. We were talking as we were getting ready for the preparing for the celebration service for Joe Adams. And he was telling me about the situation where God was challenging him to go pray with somebody at the local cemetery here. And he said, I just had to go with boldness. I didn't know the guy. I didn't know if the guy wanted prayer. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew God was telling me to do it. Second obstacle to an open heart is this: it must be led by the Spirit. When we force things, it inevitably fails. We can't blame it on God. Well, God told me that I need to tell you. Be careful in that what we do is led by the Spirit. Because when we lean on the Spirit, He gives us the wisdom as to how to move and what to say. You'll know the difference. You'll know the difference. If you don't know the difference entering the encounter with someone, you'll know it as you exit it. There's a different feeling to it. It's an obstacle to have an open heart. It can be uncomfortable and it must be led by the Spirit. And lastly, it requires compassion and humility. First Peter 3:15 says to do this. It says to present the gospel ready to share the hope you have with gentleness and respect. Come on now. Come on. How many of you ever seen anybody on the, you know, sometimes the people get on the corner and they'll be screaming, you know, you're all going to hell. Turn or burn. Get right or get left. You know? And probably in the spirit of they probably really want people to know about Jesus, but there is something to be said about compassion, humility, about gentleness and respect. And it requires us to look past, an open heart requires us to look past the exterior of someone and simply see the soul. Right now, I want you to think of the person that maybe you, hopefully you don't hate anyone, but maybe you struggle with. Maybe you have somebody you say, I just struggle in relationship with them. I struggle that every time I just, you know, it just, okay, Pastor Phil. I'm being honest, Pastor. I have some that I'm working through. I pray through, and you know what I mean. When I see them out at the mall, I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. You know, I'm just being honest. All right, honest pastor today. They're a soul. Each and every one of those people you just thought of, they're a soul. There's a quote that says, "For all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these is, it might have been." It might have been. An open heart keeps us from missing opportunity. If we ask for opportunity, it will come, but we must make sure that we have opened our hearts and prepared to reach those around us. And lastly, to help us with our focus is we must have a clearing of our vision. We must not just have a correcting of our priorities and an opening of our hearts, but we must have a clearing of our vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The actual literal translation of that is this: where there is no clear revelation and bold declaration of God's will and standards, God's people lose their biblical conviction. That's what it means. I want to repeat that again. Where there is no clear revelation, means the understanding of God's word, and a bold declaration, that means speaking God's word out. How many of you know that's a lost art these days? I think I've told you this before. I have listened to sermons before where I never heard a verse. The pastor, the speaker, he never referenced the word of God one time. I went back and watched it again. I thought I had to have missed it. I did not miss it. Where there is no clear revelation, it means understanding, a bold declaration means speaking of God's will and standards, God's people, that's us, lose our biblical conviction. How many of you wear contacts? Anybody wear contacts? Come on. Yes, I wear contacts. Or you wear glasses. See, a lot of you wearing glasses today. I don't know about you, but without my contacts, I am borderline blind. I'm just blind. I sleep so sound, so I am the top 1% candidate to get mugged in my bed. I'm going to tell you right now. Somebody could sneak up on me, and if they didn't, weren't successful of killing me, I never could identify them anyway. So you'd get away with it. I cannot see. I'm so blind. I could just like right here, but I no. You would all be. Maybe I should try that 1 week. Just preach with it. I can't see any of you, but that way I'll know who's frown. I won't know who's frowning and who's smiling. All right. Sometimes what happens, I try not to take my contacts out till I know I'm going to bed. Anybody else do that? Like, I'm going to bed, right? So every once in a while, I will take my contacts out in the bathroom there, put them in the case, put the little solution in, and then I'm like, oh, I'd really like something to drink from the kitchen. Which y'all think is not a big deal, but this is a life or death situation, all right? This is a journey, a perilous journey, because the over-under of how many times I'm going to hit my shin on something is at least three. At least three times I'm going to probably hit my... And so, because I just can't see. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I'm just like, just moving through and this is the perfect time, you know. If the boys catch me without my contact, they love it. They just jump out and scare me. I'm like, it's fine. When I have a heart attack, then you're going to have to go make the living. But it's fine, you know. But how many of you can understand the idea of without revelation, without understanding, without the spiritual contacts in, we're just blind. We're just blind. What happens when we place our spiritual contacts in? What I mean by that is when we understand, when we allow the Word of God to be proclaimed to us and we allow revelation to happen within us, here's what happens. Here's what happens when it comes to reaching the lost. You ready? Number one is this. We began to create fellowship in a way that's not complete without unsaved. So we create a life that has fellowship in it that draws what we understand that isn't complete without unsaved people there too. Fellowship goes from meeting friends, okay? Hey, I'm just going to meet some friends, just all these people hang out, to becoming a place where we can give support and strength to those who are desperately lost. Are you with me today? I'm not against having an inner circle. You should have. Jesus had an inner circle, right? He had the disciples. But he also met and ate with people who needed the gospel, right? Yeah, who needed salvation. And what happens is it shifts from our fellowship to discipleship. We realize that discipleship happens in our life because it's not complete without the newly saved. So because we have unsaved people who then become in fellowship with us, because we have that spiritual vision to do that now, then those that come in contact with us, remember the circle of influence, then they receive Christ, and then the Lord is able to do discipleship through us. Come on now, people. And so it comes from discipleship goes from strengthening our walk, which is important, to creating faith in others. You see the difference? It's important for us to strengthen our walk, but it's even better when we realize that we're running out of time, friends. We're running out of time. And we need to help people to come to know Jesus. When we have spiritual contacts in, even outreach changes for us. Outreach isn't complete without continual salvations. It goes from just doing good for a night or for a day, for a moment, to changing someone's eternity. See, when you sign up to do the outreach with us, you're not just signing up to make some cookies. You're signing up to give hope. And you're not just signing up to play a character in the Bible walk to tell a story. You're signing up to literally present the gospel. So when you sign up and you cook or you clean or you serve, you're not just signing up to do those things. You're signing up to show the love of Jesus Christ to a world who maybe has never experienced it. Don, wherever you're at, if you'll come to the piano for me. Because without a vision, the people perish. I think there's a double meaning there. Without the vision of God's people, there's no opportunity for the gospel to go forth. But also, as I said at the very, very beginning, somewhere in all of our lives, the knock on the door of our hearts by Jesus was like an unexpected visitor. We didn't know Jesus. We didn't know who he was. We didn't know why he was there. And we didn't know what he wants. But as his church, we know what Jesus came to do. He came to seek and to save the lost. And so my challenge to you is this. The greatest tragedy is that people are dying and going to hell. That we're not running out of money. That we're running out of time. And that it's about time for the church to say, you know what? We've got to get serious about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that when Jesus knocks at the door of the hearts of those in our community, that they'll know why he's there. They'll know who he is, and they'll know what he wants. And when they have that moment, we laughed about it earlier, and they go, do I just hide? Do I just run? Or do I open the door? My prayer is that we prepared ourselves in such a way, and we presented the gospel in such a way, that when Jesus knocks at the hearts of those of our family and our friends and our community, that they will open the door and receive him in. Are you with me today? Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I pray for every adult, every kid, every person in this place today. Lord, those that can hear my voice, whether they're in this room or whether they're online, Lord, I pray right now that we would begin to become inspired to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether it's inconvenient, whether it's uncomfortable, whether it costs us something, that we would still be willing to do it because we're running out of time. And every day people are dying in their sin and they're going to hell. Lord, I pray that as you knock at the door, that we've done our part so they don't question who you are, they don't question why you're there, and they don't question what you want, but that they would open that door and receive you in. But I pray you give us a boldness like never before, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team is going to sing, and as they do, the altars are open. I think it would be appropriate. It's not even near noon yet. We've got a few moments. Let's go find a place around our seats or at the altar, and let's just begin to ask the Lord to give us names of people, to give us opportunities, begin to inspire us to find ways to reach those around us, whether it's our friends, whether it's our family, whether it's our community. It's time that we spread the gospel so that others will know. Let's find a place.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live in that freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve
Today, and maybe you say, you know what? I need to make a decision for Jesus. Maybe you've heard the words today, and you've heard Jesus knock at the door of your heart, and today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, you know what? No longer. I know why. I know who Jesus is. I know why he's there, and I know what he wants, and I want to open my heart to him. If that's you today, just simply raise your hand and say, that's me. It takes a little boldness to just say, you know what? I want to live for Jesus today. Come on. Amen. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me in this place? Amen. Let's do something here as we close. I'd like you just to raise your hand to the Lord. And we're just going to ask the Lord to begin to give us opportunities to reach those around us. If you don't want an opportunity, don't put your hand up, all right? Because if we ask, he's going to do it, all right? So, Lord, we raise our hands to you today as a symbol of surrender and willingness. Lord, we raise our hands to you today to say, God, give us opportunities to reach those around us, whether it be our friends, whether it be our neighbors, whether it be our family, whether it be our community, whether it be someone at Walmart, something that we encounter along the way, God, give us opportunity to share the gospel. May it overflow out of us, and may we present a clear picture of who you are, what you want, and why you came. You came to seek and to save the lost, and we've come to spread the gospel so that everyone will know that you are the answer, that you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. We surrender to that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May you be blessed. May you have a wonderful lunch. Love for you to come back at 5 and help us decorate the church tonight. Until then, keep spreading the gospel.